This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. It's that day we call Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Mr. Kurt Rogers is with us. How are you, sir?
Your money matters now more than
ever.
Man,
I'm telling you, both nickels matter.
That's right. You rub them together too much, you lose them.
Yeah. Hey, I can fill up now for $85. So,
instead of $105.
Jeez. Again, our show is brought to you each week by Affordable Interest Mortgage, your one-stop shop for all of your mortgage needs. Kurt, what's happening right now in the mortgage world?
Well, as everybody knows, you know, the you get speculation that the market's crashing and that the rates are going to 6.5-7% and home value is going to drop 50. That's not the case. We still don't have a 3-month supply of home. We barely have 6 weeks. Certain homes are not going to bring the value anymore. If that house isn't in nice condition, mm-hmm. you cannot ask premium money for it. If it is in good condition, there's still bidding wars. I got many of my agents calling me up, telling me that they need the appraisal gap still on certain homes. So the nice homes are still bringing the money. It's the ones that need a little bit of reconditioning. Because of that, there's different loans out that can now help you do those kind of things. So if you're in the market of having a house and you need to maybe do some improvements, now might be the time because the value's there.
Yeah.
Because in 6 months to a year, that value may slow down. I don't see it dropping 10, 20% like some of these naysayers do. But it's going to eventually stabilize in 2023. Mm-hmm. So there's opportunity now that you're not going to see in a year. Like when we talked, there was opportunity at 3%.
Sure.
You know it was gone.
Right.
It's going to happen again.
And you've ridden this horse several times, right?
Yeah, kind of a little bit of a reminder, 2008. I don't see it like 2008. Because that was just a crash. That's not going to happen. We don't have unemployment down there.
Right.
But it's what I call a readjustment. Mm-hmm. And it's a healthy readjustment. It puts things more back on a level playing field for both the buyer and the seller.
Right. One of your key team members is here with us today.
I think I
said that how he wrote it down for me to say. One of your key team members.
Yes, key member. That means he has to insure me.
David's been with me for 15 years. All he specializes in is reverse mortgages. He knows them inside and out. He's seen a lot of changes, and I wanted to bring him on because there's a lot of things going on now with reverses that is going to benefit seniors as we go forward and how they can actually make money on their home through the appreciation of the home.
Right. Okay. David, welcome again.
Thank you.
Good to see you, sir.
Good to be here.
Good to be seen, as they say,
yes.
Right? You know, reverse mortgage, let's take that. You know, we talk about Kurt being through this row before. You've certainly been through it too, and there's been some changes to this. But, and we said this last time you were on the show, I have really started to see more in this last 4 or 5 years, especially financial planners bringing this up now to people where they used to not be so anxious to do so. Not because it wasn't good, I just don't think they really understood it.
They did not understand it, and if they did understand it, there's another reason for doing it. They're managing money for people,
right,
for starters. They want to manage all the money they can manage.
Sure.
And one of those assets is the house. And actually, I never quite understood if they could help a borrower doing a reverse mortgage free up that cash if there was a possibility for them to even make it grow, mm-hmm, for that borrower. Why they don't see that or didn't see that, maybe they see it more now because they are more active in helping,
right,
reverse mortgage. It's got to be part of a plan.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Once again, David Olson is with us. 720-895-0500 is the number. You can reach David, and we'll give you that several times throughout the show. Let's just start at the beginning. And again, I know you go through this every time, but new listeners we get, and some people probably thinking of a lot of other things. So let's run through the qualifications a little bit, what it takes to kind of qualify now.
Well, first of all, you've always had to be 62 or older. Okay. A spouse can be younger these days. Never used to be the case. It's detrimental, though, age. You know, how much is available to you of your appraised value? Age is a qualification for how that formula. So if one person is young, the younger you are, the less money available to you. So a 72-year-old gets more money available than a 62-year-old. But qualification-wise, back in the day when I first started, we didn't have to look at credit except to make sure there was nothing there that could turn into a federal debt that could turn into a lien on the property. That was the extent of us looking at a credit report. And then income-wise, we didn't have to worry about it either. All that changed in 2015, actually, somewhere in there. And now we have to look at credit. We have to look at income, prove income, all those things. Although it's not anywhere near what a forward mortgage has to do.
Not even close.
No. I mean, I may have four or five things I've got to collect from the borrower when they have to collect 45 things or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But there's qualifications now. Sure. It never used to be there when it first started. It's not a major problem. If we have some issues, we can do letters of explanation with documentation and usually make it work anyway.
Okay.
And then there's a little something called life expectancy set aside. If we have real problems, the lender can ask for a set aside of taxes and insurance. And they take that out of available money and set it over here and pay the taxes and insurance, property taxes, homeowners insurance, mm-hmm. which in the long run is probably a good thing anyway, because now they not only don't have a house payment, they don't have taxes and insurance to worry about either. It's all
right.
handled.
Right. And, you know, one of the biggest, and we can talk about myths and misconceptions for hours on this, but when you look at people that think, and I think one of the biggest things you say is people think, oh, they don't own their house anymore. It's kind of like the same thing with the mortgage, right?
The it's bank? Exactly the same. His people have a lien on the property. So does the reverse mortgage lender. They only have a lien. You remain on title like you are now.
Right.
Nothing changes about that.
Right. Now, if the older spouse, which mm-hmm. is usually the guy, and I don't know how that ended up, you know, women usually outlive the man, right?
Yeah.
So if they, whether they pass away or maybe move into a nursing home or something like that, that spouse can stay in that home
yep.
for their life, right?
For life. Nothing changes. It's like if there's two people and one of them passes away or goes into a nursing home, the other spouse stays in there as long as it's their primary residence and they pay taxes and insurance. Nothing at all changes. And now, if one of those pass away and there's only one living in the house and the other one needs to go to a assisted living somewhere down the road,
gotcha.
After 1 year, it's no longer considered their primary residence. And that's when that loan comes due, but that's a year down the road.
Okay, so that gives everybody time to get together and figure things out.
But, you know, most of the time in that instance, you probably sell the house long before that year passed because mm-hmm. you're paying taxes, insurance, and lights, and heat, and air, and
right.
all those things if nobody's living in it.
Sure. And you look at the peace of mind that this gives people, and, I mean, maybe you can tell me the last few people that have called, I mean, what's kind of been their purpose of trying to get that money?
Well, the purpose, right, mainly is they have a mortgage and they need cash flow. And one way to get it is to make that mortgage payment go away. Mm-hmm. And we can do that with a reverse mortgage. Again, if we have enough room in the formula to generate that many dollars.
Right.
But that is a big one right now. How do you generate cash flow if you have no other way of means of doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And some people even have stocks, but they don't want to. It's amazing with people who have a lot of stocks. I don't know where you guys are, but amazing. People that have a lot of stocks, they don't want to sell them when it's high because it might go higher.
Yeah.
Or they're earning a lot. They don't want to sell them as low because they're losing
money. They've lost too much.
So they never want to sell them.
Sure.
So they do a reverse mortgage, and they don't have to start selling off stocks when it's not a good time, mm-hmm. for instance.
I got a question. If somebody has a house, especially with the value the way it is now,
right?
In more cases than not, they're not just going to be able to get rid of the payment. They're going to have access to cash that they can take or they can leave sitting. but explain to us what happens to that cash over the time if they don't take it.
Well, if they have enough cash that they can pay off a mortgage and still have more left, or if they didn't have a mortgage at all,
right.
So all that money is available to them, one of the options is a line of credit. Now, unlike your line of credit, this line of credit grows in a reverse mortgage.
Correct.
So as it sits there, it gets larger, and yours doesn't.
No.
The other thing with yours is it can be frozen.
Correct.
If a lender sees things like what?
Value going down. Yep. Mm.
That'll never happen with a reverse mortgage line of credit.
Correct. Because mine might be capped at $50,000, but if they got $50,000 cash available in their HELOC, that could grow as the years go on. That could grow to $60,000 to $70,000 to $80,000 and give them access to it when they need it.
Correct.
It just sits there growing.
Just seeing they're growing. And it may be growing at a higher rate than you can earn in any market.
Yeah. In most cases, it will.
Yeah.
Many people don't know that.
No, they don't. The other thing we don't talk about enough is payments. You can actually take payments off of that money. You don't have to take a lump sum. You don't have to take the line of credit. If you prefer the payments every month for life, no matter how long you live, those payments will be there. And if there's two people again, one dies, those payments continue till the second one is gone. So that's something we don't talk about often enough. So what do we got? We got payment option, we got line of credit, and we got some lump sum. Or any combination of all of those things. You can piece it together.
Sure. And the good thing is, they can do what they want. There is no, exactly. I call it the spending policeman outside asking you, okay, now what are you going to do with this?
Exactly.
You can do what you want.
Exactly. Yeah. They do tell you that they prefer you don't buy an annuity with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because an annuity generally would generate another fee from whoever's doing the annuity. And because you can do a line of credit or payments right in the reverse, that's an annuity. So why go outside and do one?
Yeah.
That's the only thing they can't tell you what to do once you have your money, mm-hmm. but they have a very strong suggestion about that annuity piece.
Sure. Give David a call, 720-895-0500. It's affordable interest mortgage. If you've got any questions, and if you have any questions for us now, hey, we'll take your calls, 303-477-5600. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you have been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident for you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people hear evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one that's hurt, you have a good idea what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals, whom you don't know and weren't witnesses, to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Now's the time to get into the Outdoorsman's Attic. Their summer sale is in full swing. All fishing gear, 10 to 50% off. Tents, sleeping bags, and packs save 30%. 30% off all knives, Sitka clothing, 25% off. And if you're in the market for a gun safe, stop by the Outdoorsman's Attic. It's Colorado's largest outdoor consignment store, located at 2650 West Hamden in Sheridan. They've also got live bait, and if you haven't picked up your Colorado fishing or hunting licenses yet, they can help you there as well. If your firearm needs some work, head downstairs and see Scott the gunsmith. If you've got some hunting, fishing, and camping gear you're just not using anymore, stop by and see Billy, and he will explain their consignment program and how you can turn that gear into cash. Outdoor gear, guns, and ammo, all at the Outdoorsman's Attic, 2650 West Hamden in Sheridan.
Hey, Dan. You know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer. You're an attorney and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, it's Today We Call Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500 is the number. Kurt Rogers is with us, which you've heard for many years on the show, and his reverse mortgage specialist, David Olson, is also with us. So, David, you've said this many times. This isn't for everyone, but, boy, it can help a lot of people. So when, you know, people call you, okay,
yep.
What are those first few questions to figure out, even initially? Hey, I can tell you in a couple of minutes with these few answers, you know, if we should continue this conversation, really.
That is true. One of the first questions I always have to get answered is, how long do you plan to stay in the home? There are upfront costs involved with any loan,
mm-hmm.
as well as a reverse mortgage.
Okay.
So if they tell me that they're thinking about a move to Florida or Arizona or wherever, they need to think about it, because those upfront costs need to spread out over time. Now, if there's an absolute need to do it, fine. But that's one of the things they need to consider, how long they're going to live in the home. Secondly, if they have children, and I don't care how old they are, because when I ask the question, you have children, either the property itself or the equity in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to consider that. Now, most of the time, they say, no, they're fine, and they just want us to live as comfortably as we can.
Which is the way it should
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
Which is the way it should be.
I have ran into the opposite, but that's over all these years that you're bound to.
Have you talked to your kids? Do they expect
you
to?
Yeah, have you talked to them? That's a good question. Yeah. Sometimes I forget to ask that one. Have you talked to them?
Yeah.
And at some point, I got to come up with, hey, wait a minute, did you talk to your kids?
Yep.
Because sometime it's going to be a surprise. They're going to think you own that home, and you've had a reverse mortgage on it for 20 years, and a reverse mortgage loan balance grows. You know, there are facts, absolute solid facts about a reverse mortgage.
Right.
You are not making payments on that mortgage. Like on a regular mortgage, you've got taxes, insurance, and principal in a payment. On a reverse mortgage, you don't have a principal or interest payment.
Mm-hmm.
So where does that money, how does it get to the bank? It grows the balance of the loan over time. But that has no effect on you, because you're not making a payment. But it affects the heir's equity.
And we've talked about this in the past. What many people don't understand about a reverse, as the payoff is going up, so is the appreciation of the home.
Absolutely.
If you track it over a 10-year period at 4%.
Oh, yeah.
So if the payment's going up, the house is still going up, so that amount of equity that you have is available is going to stay there, because everything pretty much stays the same.
There's always equity in it. Initially, years ago, we would look at we give them an amortization statement, and sometimes it would go to zero at some point when they're 90 years old or something, you know. But now I hardly ever see one go back. As a matter of fact, sometimes there's more equity in it down the road than there is right now. So, yes, there's a certain block of equity that's always there, because that formula is designed to leave a good piece of equity in that home after you make use of what is available to you. So that equity, like Kurt says, is growing at least a 4% average over time.
Right. And, you know, let's say the parents pass away, whatever, or get out of the house. The heirs or the kids, I mean, they have the right to make all that right and still get the house, right?
Yes, they do.
Sure.
They're in control. Whoever the parents leave as their executor of the estate is in control. Sometimes there's another myth that we hardly talk about. People think that the bank becomes in control of the house once they pass away. They do not, unless you give them control. Okay. The heirs, the executor of the estate, controls how that will, if they have one, hopefully, is handled. And they can sell it, or they, somebody in the family can buy it and pay off the reverse, just like any other loan.
The bank only cares about getting whatever's
due. That's it. They want their money. They don't
want a house. They're not in the real estate business. They're in the loan and money business.
That's right.
So they don't want foreclosures. They don't want a reverse mortgage.
No, they don't.
No.
So what's the time frame? You know, I call you today. We have a good conversation. Come meet with you. I guess we can talk about the counseling side of it that's yep. part of this. And then how long does this whole process kind of take?
I always say 30 to 45 days. Now, the first piece is that we talk on the phone for a few minutes, but ideally we get together face-to-face right. for about an hour session and just talk reverse mortgages and how that affects you and how the numbers work for you. And then we talk about the counseling piece. You have to go to an FHA counselor, certified counselor, to make sure that you're not being told things that aren't true about a reverse mortgage, to make sure that you can afford to live in the home, pay your taxes, insurance, and maintenance, and to make sure that physically you can stay in the home. That's mm-hmm. part of what this counselor's job is. And I've never seen anybody fail.
Right. Yeah.
It's not a test.
Yeah. they just want to make sure that you understand what you're
exactly.
doing.
Exactly.
Pretty simple.
And then they get a certificate that goes with the loan application to the lender. Now, there's two things we're not in control of, either us or the borrower, and that is the counseling session, how quickly they can get it done, and the appraisal, of course.
Okay.
Now, those two things change from time to time. If the counselors are terribly busy, there's a 2-3 week lag. If they're not, it's like tomorrow. Same with appraisals.
Mm-hmm. And they can do them either face-to-face or...
The face-to-face has been gone since COVID. The local people were required to do face-to-face, the local counselors, and they never charged here locally. There's a bunch of national certified counselors that can do it on the phone, always could, and they FHA allows a reasonable fee for that counseling. And they, all those national counselors charge a fee. The locals don't, and they are doing telephone too now. I don't know if they'll ever go back to it. I don't know what the deal is.
Right.
They should be back to it by now, but mm-hmm. they're not. But they still don't charge, so that's a good thing.
Okay.
With inflation, how is that affecting the customer's ability for withdrawals? Has it affected anything in the reverse?
Well, if somebody is already at the point where they're withdrawing on their savings or investments.
Right.
And now we've got inflation, and that number they were withdrawing isn't enough anymore. So now do they want to increase that withdrawal from their investment? And what happens if they do that? That investment runs out sooner. Okay. So if they're looking at that situation, you have to weigh, does it make more sense to do a reverse mortgage and get that money out, either in a line of credit or payments, and not have to hurt your personal investments any further?
To make sure you have enough money
right.
at the end.
Mm-hmm. You got to balance those two things, because a home is an asset, period. Just like that investment you've got over here that you call money.
Yeah.
People forget to call that equity in their home money. It is money sitting there, and it should be used.
Now, over the lifetime, so to speak, of this reverse mortgage, the housing market may fluctuate a little bit.
Absolutely.
So let's say it goes down a little bit. How does that affect things?
Once you're in a reverse mortgage, is that what you're talking
mm-hmm.
about? Once you're in a reverse mortgage, that has no effect. Nothing has any effect once you're in the reverse mortgage. Values go down, values go up. Nothing affects a reverse mortgage once it's closed. When values go down, you know, if you haven't done a reverse mortgage yet and you've been thinking of it and all you did was keep thinking, And now you've got values down, that affects you. Or let's say interest rates go up.
Right.
And you've been thinking about it and did not act. Now, you're going to have an effect there. So
yeah.
If you're thinking about it, when the values are right and the rates are right, you should probably get a serious thought about it rather than just some thought that's in your mind.
Sure. And, hey, to call you is free.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Just to
and my session is free when I go out and meet with them. I meet with them at their home or in my office. It's, I like to say, your table or mine.
Sure. And if there's cookies on the table, that's better.
That's better.
All right, yeah.
They come to my office, I can put cookies on the table.
You always have cookies on the table. But see, like us in a mortgage, if you're looking at it, like I tell people about making their house mortgage safe by having a little bit of line of credit, with a reverse mortgage, that kind of does the same. And that opportunity, if you think that the market's going to change, that opportunity is starting to dwindle.
Correct.
We've talked about that just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
How as the value comes down, you start to lose opportunity.
You'll do it, but you don't have as much availability.
Yeah. You can miss the payment, but you don't have the extra cash.
Exactly.
And that happens either way, whether it's the rate or the...
Or the value.
The value of the home.
Yep.
Is there a limit as to what the value can be of a house?
Well, a limit upward is FHA has a max lending limit of $970,800.
Roundabout numbers.
Most houses I deal with are going to be within that limit.
Right.
Now, you run into million-dollar plus homes, and there's private products for those. Lenders have private products. Generally, as a percentage of the value, they don't give you as much as FHA does available to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have FHA behind you making a couple of guarantees, by the way. FHA guarantees a couple things.
Right.
Private product doesn't have those guarantees.
For sure. Give David a call. Hey, he'll be glad to help you. Again, you've heard Kurt on the show for many years, and David's been with Kurt 15 years. Does it seem like 30 sometimes, Dave?
Oh, go ahead. Sometimes. Go ahead and answer that one.
Well, we were probably 15 together or more at the other business.
Yeah, we worked together before, like 20. So we've been around each other 35.
But hey, it's a company you can trust. Hey, it's a gentleman you can trust. So hey, give David a call. He'll sit down with you. Bring who you want to the meeting once you get with David, and he'll be glad to help you and answer any questions. 720-895-0500. David, thank you so much.
You bet.
Kurt, thank you, sir.
You bet. Have
appreciate
a nice
it.
One.
You as well.
Pam is next.
Hey, we got
already?
A. Yes, sir. We're
done.
Hey, you can go back to sleep.
What?
Hey, we've got a great interview coming up next. Pam LaMeyer, a great friend of ours and a realtor in the area, is in need. And she is in need of a kidney transplant. And we sat down with Pamela recently and did a conversation with her. And we're going to bring that to you next right here on KLZ 560. For years now, you've heard me talk about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and yes, for almost 20 years, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has been taking care of our pets. From medical, grooming, boarding, and even training, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is your one stop for all of your pet's needs. Not only is their facility state-of-the-art, but now you can download the free Lone Tree Vet app and visit their online store for your pet products and pharmacy needs. You can also have your very own pet portal. Plus, don't forget to read their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com. Do you take your dog on hikes? Check out Hiking the Trail Safely with Your Dog. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Call today 303-708-8050 or check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
Kurt Rogers with Affordable Interest Mortgage. You've heard me for the last 8 years on KLZ, and today, my senior reverse mortgage manager of over 16 years, David Olson, has important information on reverse mortgages.
Thank you, Kurt. I specialize in reverse mortgages, and as a senior of 75 years and owning a reverse mortgage, we face many precarious financial events. Today, we're facing a 40-year high inflation rate. The words inflation and fixed income are not compatible. How do we protect our financial stability in these difficult times? By having access to an increasing home equity line of credit, where your unused portions grow in value. An income stream for life, just like Social Security. affordable interest mortgage. Just call 720-895-0500. Join me for a free, no-obligation conversation, your table or mine, and learn how a reverse mortgage can help you. That's 720-895-0500. David Olson. Relieve some of your financial stress in these trying times. That's 720-895-0500.
NMLS 298-191, regulated by DORA.
You're listening to KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters. It is always good to have either Dr. Perry Maynard with us or Dr. Shane Stedman. And today, we are glad to welcome Dr. Perry Maynard from Integrated Health Systems. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. Honestly, I just had continuing education all weekend. So I was on my computer from 7 to 4 every day this weekend. So
wow.
It was good.
Hey.
Not much rejuvenation.
That's okay. Good deal. Well, man, we appreciate you guys staying on top of everything to help us feel better when we come in. So, you know what? This is going to fit very well with what kind of I was going to talk with you about a little bit today. And even the more I got to thinking about it after we spoke this morning a little bit, kind of approaching this two ways. One is, you know, sometimes our insurance will dictate a doctor to us, and so we really don't have much choice there. And then other times we do get a choice in choosing one when insurance doesn't play such a role. But then it's also a relationship that takes both for it to succeed. We've got to be good patients. A doctor's got to be invested in wanting us to get better. So we're going to approach this a couple of different ways. But the main thing I want to kick off, kind of what you and I discussed a little bit here about, you know, it's tough when you go see a new doctor. You don't know anything about them. They don't know anything about you. It seems like you fill out all those 50 pages of paperwork, and then they walk in and act like they've not looked at anything you wrote down and start asking you questions, which I know that doesn't happen with you guys. So kind of talk about just that initial relationship with a doctor and everything. And then what I want to get into is it okay to even ask a doctor some questions about them? And do you have many people do that even?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it's interesting. I feel like older generations have this this kind of thought in their mind of doctors as this like authority. Right, kind of like a police officer or maybe a judge, right, where there's a ton of respect that's paid towards doctors, which I don't think is a bad thing, but I think a lot of people get very scared to question a doctor, to push a doctor, and I always tell people, it's your health. It's your body. And at the end of the day, you really know it better than you think, and you probably know it better than that doctor does as well. You know, and so I think going back, yeah, patients do all the time, you know, and rightfully so. I think it's a little bit different on our end because usually by the time people have gotten to it, they've already spent a lot of money and a lot of time. So I think they're kind of like, well, why are you different? I've been to 5 doctors. None of them have helped. Why are you going to help? You know, how do I believe you that you can help? So, no, we get that all the time. And honestly, I have no problem sitting down because, you know, I want patients, like I always tell patients, is like, I want you to be as informed as possible so that you can make the best decision for your health. You know, I'm not there to persuade them either way. It's to kind of give them the data, help them to understand it so they can decide whether they want to do this A or B or C or D or whatever. So I always tell patients, I think, you know, question your doctor. That's what they're there. You know, doctor is educator, so they should be there to help to educate you so that you're able to make the best decision for your health.
Sure. So what would be just some kind of appropriate things? And I'm not saying in every case, because you may be going to doctors for different reasons, but it will just take you guys a little bit. What are some things that you go, hey, these are just some things you should probably ask a doctor if you're seeing them for, you know, health, just normal things with health care?
Yeah, you know, I think it definitely depends on the case, but I think it's fair for, you know, someone to really understand, you know, if they're being diagnosed with something, what does that mean? And how does that make sense for what they're coming to a doctor for? So I think far too often we get caught up, you know, doctors want to put a label on something, you know, and in all fairness, right, they have 15 minutes, people want a label. It's kind of like the, you know, people just want an antibiotic because they don't feel well, whether that's the right choice or not, is understanding how is this related to what I'm coming to that person for? Because, you know, if you're going to a doctor for, let's say, headaches, and then they start talking about, you know, your cholesterol and this and that, you know, you want to make sure, say, well, hold on, I'm coming to you because I have headaches. Will you please tell me how what you're discussing is going to help why I'm coming to you? You know, and then how is whatever treatment you're recommending, whether that's a medication, whether that's a diet, how is that going to affect, you know, my condition? You know, and mm-hmm. I think that's something really important because, once again, sometimes it has nothing to do with it, you know, or doctors start chasing numbers or they start chasing certain symptoms and the treatment or the course of action may have nothing to do with that, you know, or it may have nothing to do with improving. And I tell doctors this all the time is that, you know, at the end of the day, your goal is to fix the chief complaint. Now, is it important that we treat the human and we try to improve as much as possible? Yes, but at the end of the day, if you improve numbers on blood work, but the patient still doesn't feel good, that's not really serving them either. So I think just understanding whatever the diagnosis is you have, the treatment, but then the last one is all the other options. So this is the option they're giving you. What other options are out there? You know, and what are the pros and cons of other options so that you can decide really what the best treatment is for you?
Right.
You know, and then my last piece is get second opinion. Get differing opinions and figure out what makes sense to you. You know, mm-hmm. are you seeing overlap where doctors are all saying the same thing, or are they saying vastly different things? You know, and I think then that's really important. And I think that's what we do a really good job is having a really good understanding of a lot of, you know, I think of us as like a cross trainer, right? We understand a lot, or we understand, you know, a good amount about a lot of stuff. So we can start to understand, okay, that makes sense versus the problem is a lot of doctors are so specialized that they try to put everything in their arena. You know, right. If you are a GI specialist or you're a doctor that, you know, and everything is the gut, you're going to find a way to make every patient who comes in to see you a gut problem, you know, versus, you know, something else. And that's more of a big problem I see in the alternative medicine world, not as much in traditional world. I mean, traditional world is notorious for that doesn't fall into my specialty. I don't know. See you later.
Sure.
But they don't know where to send them. And that's a big problem.
Right.
They just kind of say, well, hey, I'm not your person. And I don't know who is. So sorry. You know, and there's plenty of times where we may not be the right person, but we work our hardest to find them that right person. You know, we don't just send them off and say good luck. We really do a good job of being patient advocates to get them to that right doctor if we don't think that that's going to be us.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Perry Maynard's our guest. It's Integrated Health Systems. Their number, 303-781-5617. Now, you tell me if this should be a big deal or not, because it is to me sometimes, most of the time. Sometimes, you know, you go to a new doctor and all, and you don't really think about, you just think, hey, I'm going to get to see him or her every time. But then sometimes it's the first appointment or the second or third appointment, then all of a sudden you're seeing their PA, physician assistant, or a nurse practitioner or something like that, and not really getting to see the doctor. Should that be a big deal to the patient where you get to see the same person? Now, again, you may want me to see Dr. Stedman for something, so I get that, but I'm still seeing a doctor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I think that's multifold. Honestly, a lot of times people end up like in the NP or the PA different. But what I think,
because they take probably a little longer, don't they?
Well, I think what that's showing you is that you're kind of a number in the system, mm-hmm. right? They don't have time for you per se. You know, they're there to sign off on your chart note to make sure that nothing goes catastrophically wrong. You know, their license is there to make sure that the NP or the PA didn't do something that may negatively impact. But to me, I think it just shows maybe the priority you are as a patient, you know, in the time that they have for you. And that's a big difference here is that you will always see, you know, one of the doctors. For the most part, all my patients, they will always see me every time they come in. Even if they're just doing therapies, they will see me first so that we can check in on each visit to make sure that everything is going, you know, according to plan, you know, or if they have any questions, if they need to chat about anything, you know, that's the big difference between this and the traditional system. The traditional system really is how can they increase the capacity that the doctor can see, and that's via a PA or an NP. So if the doctor themselves can see 10 people in a day, well, if you add on a PA or an NP, well, now you increase the capacity of that clinic, yep. maybe double, you sure. know? And so you just ask yourself the question, like, okay, well, how do I feel about that? Is that the best model, you know, in regards to patients? You know, but unfortunately, when you're looking at the insurance game, if insurance is only reimbursing X amount, mm-hmm. well, they need to make that up by increasing patient volume.
Sure.
Right? So say they only get reimbursed, you know, $20 for an appointment. That's not true. Well, then more people need to be seen. So they need to expand their reach, and that's going to be via other practitioners. So I think the important thing to note is that PAs and NPs can be brilliant, and they can be phenomenal practitioners. I think the point we're trying to make is that the way the system is built is not for you to really, for anyone to give you a really deep dive. It's to triage your symptoms as quick as possible and then find some sort of treatment that hopefully may or may not work mm-hmm. or may just cover up your symptoms.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, is it wrong of us as a patient to want copies of like test results or anything like that? Is that a normal request?
It's 100% a normal request, and you have every right to it. It's pretty crazy the amount of doctors who give patients a hard time about their medical records. They are your medical records. Oh. They are you. It's you. You know, they don't own them. So, yes, I would say every patient has every right to every lab, every imaging, their notes. We have patients all the time ask for notes and imaging, and that's totally their right. And doctors' offices should not argue or debate that topic.
Sure. And I mean, yeah, I know. I fully agree with you. And I mean, one thing, good night. You guys have just done so well, and just gold star for this is also sitting down and explaining it to us what it means. Because so many times, again, you get back to the other, you know, just your regular, sometimes primary care doc, they walk in or they call you and just, or leave you a text, or you got to go into their portal, whatever, and it goes, labs were all in range. Well, you know, well, what does that mean? You know, I mean, I'd like to kind of go through it, and you guys do that so well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I actually had a patient in the other day, a vertigo patient, a patient with a dizziness, and she had been to some ENT. They did all this testing. She'd spent thousands of dollars. And the doctors came and said, yeah, nope, everything's normal. And she was like, well, can we go over it? Like, I would like to understand the test. And he was like, no. You know, so she spent all of this money, and the doctor didn't even have the time to go over the test, what they mean, what she may have going on. You know, and that's something that, you know, we really try to do is go, like I said, my goal is to create patients who are self-reliant. I want them to really understand what's going on so that when we are doing things, they understand why they're doing them. You know, and they're not like, why am I doing this? How does this make any sense? Like, I want my patients to be almost maybe to the point of too informed to where some patients are like, I don't even care. That's too much information for me, you know, but I'd rather over educate to empower them so that they can really understand, because at the end of the day, it's your body, you know, there's no manual for this, and it's, you know, if things are going wrong, you should really understand so that if you want to, you can take, you know, take control of that. You know, we should all want to take control of our health and make us, you know, as functional as possible. It's kind of no different than like a, you know, a car, or, you know, it's really interesting is you'll find people are far more maybe inquisitive when it's their child or their loved one, but when it's them, not quite as much.
Sure.
You know, which is kind of interesting. But, yeah, no, that's definitely a big difference that unfortunately, you know, docs, I mean, I've seen that with serious things with patients with things like cancer, you know, where the doctor just kind of like leaves like a phone call. And it's like, you'd think something like that would want to be a little bit maybe more personalized. Or, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you got cancer, instead of just leaving it on a voicemail, which I have heard before as well.
Wow. Once again, you are listening to Your Health Matters, and that's what we're talking about with Dr. Perry Maynard, Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617. And we want to thank them for all giving our listeners here for Your Health Matters a free initial consultation. So all you have to do is call 303-781-5617. And, you know, one thing, Dr. Zevman, boy, we've talked about many times is prevention, you know, of being sick. And I think so many times the reason sometimes we get into these serious health issues because we don't do any, quote, maintenance like we do on a car. So I like a doctor, too, that's proactive on, hey, keeping me healthy. I don't just have to come see you when I'm sick, but even, you know, come in every few months or whatever and see you and just see if things are going well so I don't get sick, right?
Oh, 100%. You know, I'm going to butcher the saying, actually. Someone had said it the other day, what is it, an ounce of prevention is a pound of cure.
Yeah.
I think that might be it. I apologize if I butcher that. You know, and it's so true. You know, once someone is diabetic, it's much harder to reverse things unless, you know, or if you catch it earlier, it's much easier. And I'd say that's with everything. That's with brain health. That's with blood sugar, thyroid. You know, once the disease process has started, you're a little late to the game, you know. And unfortunately, traditional healthcare is not quite caught on, you know, and they discount a lot of these patterns of saying, hey, you know, that blood sugar is a little high. We should probably get on control of it. They say, that's normal. I've seen worse. You know, and I think the hard part is a lot of these doctors are so used to seeing maybe a glucose of, you know, 250 or 300 that they're like, oh, 120? Nah. That's not that bad. You'll be fine.
Right.
This other guy, he's losing his health. And man, it's who's to say they won't end up like that person, you know, 10 years down the road. So we look at prevention a good amount, you know. And we're looking at things, you know, we're trying to catch things way before they actually become a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, another thing with the functional medicine approach is, you know, so many times, boy, you're not in a regular doctor's office just a few minutes, and all of a sudden here comes the prescription pad out. And I'm not – medications certainly have their place and save lives and, you know, help people in all kinds of situations. But it doesn't have to be the first answer, does it, most of the time?
No, I don't think it really needs to a majority of the time. I mean, especially with the conditions that – we see there's so many conservative measures that can be done that come with way less side effects, and I would argue are really getting more to the root cause. You know, whether you're looking at, you know, blood pressure medications or cholesterol medications or diabetic medications, all which have their place and all, you know, can be really, really important. A lot of those things, you know, they don't always address, you know, let's say you have a diabetic with high blood pressure and high cholesterol, and you put them on a statin, a blood pressure medication, and metformin, which is a diabetic drug. That's great, you know, because you're trying to keep them from, you know, maybe having a stroke or a heart attack, but have you addressed the reason they got there in the first place? No. Those drugs are trying to hijack mechanisms to negate whatever lifestyle issue that is making them sick, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know, the high blood pressure medication is going to, in essence, slow down your ability to increase your blood pressure, but it's not really getting after the root of why that may be high. You know, and the cholesterol medication is not necessarily getting to the root of why your cholesterol might be elevated, and the metformin is not getting to the reason why you have elevated blood sugar. You know, if you put someone on all those drugs and they continue to have donuts and oatmeal for breakfast and for lunch, are you really helping that person? I say no. So, I agree. I think there's, but the problem is, you know, like we've talked about before, is that traditional healthcare is, they're not set up for time. You know, they have 15 minutes to solve your serious health issue. You know, they're not getting reimbursed or paid by insurance to talk about nutrition or diet or lifestyle or exercise, mm-hmm. you know, and they just want to do well by the patient. So, you know, if they can give a medication and the patient gets relief, everyone's happy, you know, and unfortunately that just becomes a vicious cycle. So, you know, I blame the system more than the doctor, but yes, unfortunately the prescription pad is pulled out way too fast in like 90% of things, I think.
Right. All right, our last 5 or 6 minutes here. Let's talk. Now, we kind of talked about good doctor. Now, let's talk about how to be a good patient. So, you know, as I said in the beginning, that relationship's got to be given both ways. I mean, number one, I would just think the first thing you ask of a patient is just to be honest with you, right?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think, once again, going back to, I think the more of the baby boomer generation, they have this weird thing of doctors are like a judge or like a police officer. You treat them with respect and you don't want to make them mad. And so sometimes you have patients who sugarcoat things and may lie and say, I'm better. That's not that bad. You know, when patients lie about their symptoms or lie about things being better or worse, it doesn't hurt anyone but you, mm-hmm. you know? If a doctor doesn't know if something's working or not, how are they supposed to fix it? So I always tell my patients, like, I need you to be honest with me. Like, it's okay. It's okay if it's no better, you know, because that tells us something. That tells us that maybe we're on the wrong track or we need a little bit more time or we need to shift gears, you know. So I think that's really important for patients to be honest with how they're feeling in care. Do they feel comfortable? They shouldn't be ashamed to tell, you know, the doctor anything in fear of maybe making the doctor mad. If a doctor is getting defensive, then you need to find a new doctor.
Right. I do a show in Dallas with a family medical doctor every week, and we just did one last week, and he said, we were talking about, you know, like smoking and drinking and different things patients tell him, and he said, really, he was taught in medical school, whatever they tell you, double it. So if a guy says he's, you know, drinking 3 beers on a Saturday, he's probably drinking 6, you know. So again,
there's definitely that component too. you know, people lying to make it seem like it's not that bad,
right?
You know, or vice versa. So you know, it's interesting the things patients tell you versus someone else in your staff,
mm-hmm.
and usually there's a huge disconnect where I'm like, well, they didn't tell me that. Wait, where'd that come from? They told you that?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, do you walk in a room sometimes and you're expecting one person and all of a sudden someone's sitting with them? Now, does that help sometimes when maybe a spouse or someone is with them to listen to what's going on, to even maybe help the patient remember what was said and help them be honest with you?
I think more often, yeah. You know, my favorite duo is the teenage kid with their parent, because they're never in agreement where I'll ask a question, the kid will be like, nah, not really bothering me. And then the mom's like, yes, it is. And the kid's like, no, it's not. You know, and then I open up this big argument. I'm like, oh, God, what did I start? But for the most part, yes, having support system is one of the biggest things that helps people get better. You know, it's really sad when I see kids in here by themselves, when I see, you know, about, like, when there's no support system,
Yeah.
You know, so I think having a significant other or some sort of support system there with you to maybe ask questions that you forgot or to remember things, you know, because it's a lot of information. So, and I always tell all my patients, I was like, you know, if you want to record this, record this. If you want to call a friend so they can listen, call a friend. Like, I don't, there's some doctors who are really weird about that and, like, refuse to be recorded. I don't know what they're doing, what they're concerned about, a liability. But, like, patients need to, once again, it's their health, and I think they should have a right to be able to ask the doctor, can they record this? Can they take notes? Can they call their husband so their husband can listen? I think those are totally reasonable things that a doctor should allow when discussing important information.
Yeah, absolutely. We got about a minute and a half left here, so I just want to ask you this real quick on COVID things. Recently, this last week, I've had four of my friends I went to high school with in Dallas test positive again for COVID, second time each one of them's had it. Are you guys, what are you hearing from your patients and all that with COVID? Does it seem to just be kind of non-existent now here as far as people that you talk with, or what are your folks saying?
You know, no, it definitely seems like there's an uptick. I don't know how sick people are getting for sure, but I just, a patient I just chatted with just had it. So I definitely am seeing an uptick in patients telling me, I'd say probably over the last 2 months in having COVID. Once again, it hasn't appeared to be anywhere near what it was before severity. I think a lot of it just ends up being you know, a minor cold, but I definitely am seeing an uptick in people getting sick and then saying that they ended up testing positive comparatively. But none of them, knock on wood, fortunately, have been really that sick, which is good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dr. Maynard, man, our time went too quick here. We'll have to cover some more of these on your next visit, but we appreciate your time, and thank you so much for being with us today on Your Health Matters.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. Thank you. That's Dr. Perry Maynard. Once again, folks, it's Integrated Health Systems. Give them a call, 303-781-5617. Thanks for being with us today. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation, 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Steadman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.